Good singing this morning. We appreciate these songs. And this, that last song ought to be encouragement to every one of us, that no matter how late it's been in your time frame, no matter how long it's been, God is still on the throne, and He'll come at the time that you need Him the most to work everything out in your life and mine. While you turn to the book of 2 Peter, in the first chapter this morning, let me give you the dates for this benefit. The little boy that Bonnie made mention of, 9-year-old. And these are from over in Kentucky, over in Ellesmere. You've probably seen it on the news where the house, they lost their home and the son was badly burned. And now Bonnie told us today that they're looking at when to disconnect him off the life support because there's been no brain activity, and they're going to be having a benefit, and that's going to be, and I'm trying to find it, the Heartland Point Community Clubhouse there in Erlanger, or Ellesmere, Kentucky, rather, and they're also, it says, any clothing or household donations can be dropped off at the Heartland Point Community Clubhouse in Ellesmere. So we'll try to get this on the bulletin board. If you got anything that you'd like to help that family with, certainly remember them and put yourself in that situation. I mean, it's terrible to lose your house and all your possessions, all the memories that's there. But what's even worse is knowing that one of your children has lost their life. So remember that family today in your prayers. In the book of 2 Peter, the first chapter is where we're reading from this morning. If you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, go with us, if you would, down to verses 12, 13, 14, and 15 today. He says in verse 12 of this first chapter of 2 Peter, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yes, I think it meet, as long as I am with you in this tabernacle, to stir up you by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." And stop reading there with that 15th verse, and you can be seated in the house of the Lord. And this thought's been on my heart, and I just want to share it with you today for a few minutes of time, of remembering why we celebrate. Remembering why we celebrate. There are so many folks, especially this time of the year, that are celebrating, and most of them, Larry, they're celebrating in the wrong way. They don't know how to have a celebration without having all of the things that the devil would have them to have in their lives. And we need to know why we're celebrating. So many folks don't even know what they're celebrating. And 235 years ago, our forefathers gave us a right, not just to be a country, but also to have the right to religious freedoms that we have today. And we're not just celebrating the fireworks. I don't know about you, but how many of you still, when you hear the Pledge of Allegiance, or you hear them sing the national anthem, or you see the fireworks as they many folks have doing it this time of the year, that it still gets my attention and it makes my heart swell, because I am proud to be an American. I'm proud to have my family and friends here in this country, and this is the best country in the world. Even with all of her faults, she's still the best one. But many of our people don't even know what they're celebrating. It's just another time to go off and have a drink or two and to enjoy life. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying life, but we ought to know what we're celebrating. Because every celebration, and this morning as we were studying and asking the Lord to direct our hearts with this, is that throughout the Bible, there's always been celebrations. And those celebrations was not just a reason. You know, sometimes we have get-togethers just to get together. Sometimes we do it just for the food, right? Amen? Some of you Baptists can help me this morning. We get together just for the food, but many of our kids are growing up and don't know what we're celebrating. Many of our loved ones don't know what we are celebrating, not just in the secular, but also in the church. And Jesus and the apostles and even the prophets, they had celebrations and they wanted the people to know what they were celebrating and why they were celebrating it. In the Old Testament, when we read about these celebrations and the different feasts and the times that they celebrated, it wasn't just that they would go through the ritual, but God ordained it so that their kids. He said, teach it to your loved ones, teach it to your families, and teach it to your kids and to your kids' kids so that they will understand. You remember when they come out from, when they went through, I should say, over at the River Jordan, and he told Joshua and them to take some stones out of the midst of the river and to set them up. And he said, when the time comes that your children shall ask, what does these mean? That you can tell them what great things that the Lord did for you. Sometimes when we celebrate, and I'm not just talking about a carnal celebration this morning, I'm talking about a spiritual celebration. Like we had here last Sunday morning. When folks were celebrating, it wasn't that we were celebrating because the cross carriers were here and Ernie was here, but we were celebrating what God has done for us in the past. I don't need to wear a banner to tell people why I celebrate. I celebrate and I know what I'm celebrating. I'm celebrating what Jesus Christ has done for me. In the Old Testament, when they come through, every major battle, every major victory that God gave to them, there was a celebration that was put into place. There was a celebration of the Passover after the death went through the land. And you Bible readers know that when they went into the land that God promised them, every year they would have a celebration. Excuse me. It was a celebration of that God, not that death come all the way around them, but they celebrated that because they put the blood on the two side posts and the lintel, it was God's angel when he passed through the land that protected them. And every year they celebrated that, and they knew, those that went through it knew why they were celebrating. And for those that were too young to remember, every year they would have that celebration and they would teach it to their children. And they would say to them, we're celebrating, Eli, because when the death angel went through the land, it wasn't because we were Gentiles, it wasn't because we were Jews, it wasn't because of the house that we lived in, but it's because God's man told us, if you'll take the blood and you'll put it on the two side posts and the lintel, when death passes by, God will spare you and watch over you. How many of us today can remember the celebration and why we celebrate it? I celebrate it not because I was there, but when death comes to my house, you know that I don't have anything to worry about because the Passover has already come. God will pass over and he'll see the blood applied to our hearts. And he'll say, Terry, that's my child. And no death can come to a child of God. Can I preach this morning for a few minutes? People say, well, death is coming to all of us. No, for a child of God, we're just going to go to sleep for a little while. But then we're going to wake up in a place where we'll sleep no more. The Bible also says that there was a celebration. And I preached on some of this on last Wednesday, not this past Wednesday. I had to work late. And Brandon preached for you on Wednesday this past week. But a couple weeks ago is that the first fruits, everything that was the first fruits was dedicated to God. And people say, why would they celebrate such things as that? It was a picture or a type of things to come. That the first fruits was laid aside and they dedicated that to God and they had a celebration. Folks, you and I, sometimes people forget. Just because we put things in the ground, we put seeds in the ground, and they come up, it's not because we did all the work. All we did was put the seeds in the ground. It's God that grew it. It's God that gave the increase. And God told him, he says, when these things happen and your crops come forth, take the first fruits and dedicate it to God. And he said, if you'll do that, God promised them that I will bless you and you'll have more to celebrate. And can I put this in? You give the first fruits to God, and when you go out and you do your harvest, don't take it all, but leave the edges. Leave some of that there for those that are without. People say, well, that didn't leave you very much. How many of you know that when God takes a little bit and He blesses it, it becomes more than you'll ever have need of? Amen? It was a celebration of the first fruits. It was a picture and type of things to come. They was already celebrating. This blessed my heart when I remembered it today, that this was a type and picture of things to come, because it was painting a picture that there was going to come a man that was going to be planted in the ground, but he was going to get up after the third and appointed day. And people say, what does that have to do with the celebration? It has to do with that He is the first fruits of the resurrection. And because He's the first fruits, how many of you know when they plant us underneath the sod, when the trump of God shall sound, declaring that time shall be no more, there's going to be a bunch of folks to celebrate the first fruits because of what Jesus Christ did. Every one of us will get up. Because He got up, we shall get up also. And people say, well, that's in things to come. The Bible says that Abram saw the day that Jesus come, and he celebrated it, not even knowing when that day would come. Folks, I don't know when He's coming in the clouds of glory, but today I want to celebrate that He is coming in the clouds of glory to gather His elect from the four winds of the earth. And I know what I'm celebrating. I'm celebrating today in that I am saved, I'm redeemed by the grace of God, and I've got a better place to go to when I close my eyes down here. Folks, we ought to know what we celebrate. Are some of these kids, and this is why it's been up on my heart, and then I'll get back to the Word of God, is that some of our kids don't even know why we celebrate the 4th of July. And I heard a statistic last year that so many of our junior high and high school kids don't even believe that the Holocaust actually happened. They think it's just a fable. If we do not teach our people why we celebrate these things, it will disappear. I remember when I was younger, and this will paint the picture for you. I remember when I was younger, every year there would be family reunions. And one year, they put it off and said, well, there's not enough of us and we'll just do it next year. You know what happens when you start quit the celebrations? They're gone. And folks, when I was growing up, I knew all of my kinfolk. Our kids don't even know half of their kinfolk. And I don't know half of them now, Billy, because we quit celebrating. If we quit celebrating in the secular things, you know what it's coming to? It's bleeding into the church that we have stopped celebrating what church is all about. It's not just coming together and fellowshipping for a few minutes, and it's not about just coming together and having a meal every once in a while, or just having a few songs and a short little message and then go to the house. That's not what we celebrate. We celebrate that we once was lost, but then the Word of God come into our life, and it convicted us of our sins. We ought to celebrate conviction today more so than we ever have. Because without conviction, the Bible says, there can be no conversion of our people that are lost. And we are taking the celebration out by replacing it with just a little bit of the touch of the Word of God. Larry's been teaching on this for several weeks now. If you give people just a little bit of the truth, they'll take the lie with it and enjoy it. I don't want to celebrate a lie. I want to celebrate the truth today. And we ought to know that every celebration has a great cost attached to it. We celebrate the freedom that we have this morning as a country. Do you know how many lives it cost for us to have this freedom? Do you not remember back? And I wanted to remind us why we celebrate and how much it cost all of the men and women that lost their lives to make this country what it is today. And people say, well, I've read that in the history lessons. And I'm not a historian by no means. But I remember hearing about Valley Forge. and the great battles. I remember hearing about Sumter's Hill and the great battles that was there. And all the men and women that laid down their lives to give us something to celebrate today. And then there's those that don't believe that we ought to celebrate it. You know what I believe today, and I'm not being a smart aleck this morning, that those that don't love America ought to leave America. They ought to leave it today. Because this is a country that had a great price paid for it. And some of you have got your loved ones on foreign soil today defending the rights that we have this morning. And people say, well, why do we celebrate then? We celebrate because men and women paid the price for us. We ought to celebrate in church just the same because many of our forefathers were martyred for the cause of the church. People think church is just free. It didn't cost anything. It cost the prophets their lives. It cost the men of God their lives in the New Testament. And it cost the greatest price. It cost the life of Mary's precious little lamb. All week I've been, it seems like all week long, it's been in my mind. Rachel singing that song, "He Has His Father's Eyes." And I think about that, folks, when we come to church, this is a celebration for a reason. We're celebrating what Jesus Christ has done for us. Has He been good to anybody this morning at all? Has He blessed anybody? Do you know what you're celebrating this morning? Every time we come to church, it ought to be a celebration of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And you say, well, some folks might think, well, what He did for me was years ago. No, He blessed me yesterday. And He would bless me this morning. And I've come to celebrate the goodness of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. They also celebrated the Pentecost. And it scares the Baptist folk half to death sometimes. We ought to celebrate Pentecost. You say, well, we're not Pentecostal. If you take it by the Word of God, we sure are. Or we ought to be. The celebration of the Pentecostal and why the Pentecost and why they celebrate it is because it was a descent of the Holy Spirit upon mankind. How many of you today have the Holy Spirit? You say, well, I've not been touched and received it. I believe it just like this. The moment I got saved, I received the whole package. Justified, sanctified, and glorified. And I know today that we can celebrate Pentecost, just like it was any other time in years past when they celebrated. We ought to be praising God that we have the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, how would we know that we've been saved by God's grace? They were celebrating Pentecost, and they had a reason to. Can you see this as those fathers and mothers shared it with their children? Maybe their children wasn't there, or maybe they wasn't of age. But they said that there was a revival that broke out. God's people had been in the upper room and they'd been praying for God to send the Comforter. And then one day we was in a little church meeting. And the Spirit of the Lord come like a mighty rushing wind. And it fell on all of us. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And they say, this is why we celebrate it, because before then, we had to go and talk to a priest to find out and to ask for our sins to be forgiven and to find out if everything was all right between us and God. Now, we don't have to go to the priest, but we can go right into the holies of holy. Let me tell you why I celebrate it. Because I don't need a man to tell me my sins are forgiven. I've got a God who will forgive me of my sins. And He will forgive you of yours if we'll just celebrate Him this morning. And then also, the Bible also says that they had a celebration of the trumpets. A feast of the trumpets. And what that was, it was a feast, it was a celebration of the trumpets being blown to bring good news. Whenever victory was in the children of Israel, they'd sound the trumpets because victory was there. You remember when they walked around Jericho on the seventh day, on the seventh time? The Bible says that on the seventh day, on the seventh time, when you walk around it, you sound the trumpets loud. Because God's going to give you the victory. You say, well, you ought not sound the trumpet until you've got the victory. See, sometimes we ought to sound the trumpet because God's promised it to us, and we can go ahead and celebrate it as though it already was. Amen? We need to celebrate. We need the trumpets to be sounded. And when the trumpets sound, we ought to be able to understand what we're celebrating and why we're celebrating it. Let me give you a couple more, then I'll move on with my message this morning. Bible also says that they had a celebration or the feast of the tabernacles. See, when they was in bondage, they lived in tents. They didn't have anything. They was going through the wilderness for 40 years that they went through the wilderness, and all they did was lived in a tent. But when God took them to the promised land, and he gave them vineyards that they did not plant, they ate from gardens that they did not plant, and God gave them houses that they did not build. You know what they said, Sharon? They said, we ought to have a celebration of tabernacles. God took us out of a tent, and he put us in a house. Can I explain it like this? God took you and I out of a place called hell and destruction, set our feet upon a solid rock, and give us a purpose in life, and give us a home in heaven that we can celebrate. People say, well, I'm not to heaven. When I get to heaven, I'll celebrate my new home. Folks, I'm going to celebrate it today because it's as much mine today as it will be the day that I walk down the streets of glory and I move into that new residence. You say, how is it yours? Because God said it was. Anybody else got a new house that you can celebrate today? Some of you not sure. You've got a new home that you're going to live in. Because Jesus said it like this in the book of John, the 14th chapter. He said, I'll go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I'm celebrating with a purpose this morning. You say, well, what purpose is it? It's because it's all mine. Every bit of it already belongs to me this morning. They had the Sabbath day celebration. And one of the ones that really blesses my heart, and some of you will remember this, they had the celebration of Purim, but they also had a celebration that was called the Jubilee. Can anybody else hear them old time singers when they used to sing that song? Jubilee, Jubilee, what a meeting in the air. Anybody else remember that? They had a celebration called Jubilee because on the 50th year was the Jubilee year. Anything that you had lost the previous 49 years was given back in the year of Jubilee. You lost property because you couldn't pay the taxes or you had to sell it on the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, it was given back to you. If you was enslaved on the 50th year, you were set free. This ought to bless somebody this morning. No matter what you lost in the Jubilee year, it was restored to you. How many of us in times past has lost great things in our life? But God did not wait till the 50th year. But he spoke Jubilee to us, and we received everything that we lost. What sin took away from us, God gave it back to us. He restored us back in fellowship with him. And folks, they celebrated Jubilee. See, I guess you really can't celebrate until you've lost something. And let me come to a close this morning. You remember the widow woman when she lost that mite. The Bible says that when she found it, she called for her neighbors in a celebration. You remember the father that had the son that was lost. He went off, he said, give me all that's coming to me and I'm going to go on my own, if I can condense it into that this morning. But you see, when the father looked, I believe daily he was looking for that son to come back down the road. And day after day after day, that son did not come. But one day, Sister Tara, he was watching. People say, how do you know he's watching? Because the Bible says he saw him afar off. And he did not wait till that son got home. He started the celebration before the son ever got there. Because you see, he already had a fatted calf put up. He already had a ring and he already had a robe. He already had shoes. He had it all prepared. He knew that there's going to come a celebration. Can I encourage some of us this morning? You might as well go ahead and get the stuff ready. There's coming a celebration. And when the celebration comes, you will know why you are celebrating. And your people will know why. It's not because we just want to have a get-together. We're celebrating what good thing God has done for us. And this day, when the sun came home, the Bible says that there was a great feast, a great celebration. See, every one of us has a reason to celebrate. And we ought to know what we're celebrating. It's a shame to say it like this, but so much of our history is slipping by us. It's slipping by us because kids today, and I'm not blaming the kids, it's as much our fault for not teaching them why we're celebrating. So much of it is gone by the wayside. When I think of Normandy, I thought about all this week. When I think about all the lives that was lost in WW1 and WW2, Iwo Jima and Normandy and all these great battles in the Korean conflict, in Vietnam. And if my memory serves me right, over 3,000 souls that's been lost in this battle that we're in now. All these lives, folks, gave us a reason that we can celebrate this today. If people say, well, it's sad to celebrate that somebody else had to pay with their life. Had it not been their lives, we would not have the freedoms that we have. And I know we've got veterans in our congregation this morning. And I salute our veterans and I'm thankful that they served in our stead and preserved our rights. But folks, we need to go back and remember what our patriarchs have paid for us. In the Word of God, because so much, just like in a natural realm, and I'll close with this, so much in a natural realm that's been lost in our history, there's even more that's being lost in our spiritual history. Because our churches aren't teaching it anymore. Our preachers aren't preaching it anymore. And Christians aren't living it anymore. We've stopped celebrating. We're more in it for the carnal celebration than we are the spiritual celebration. And folks, let me tell you, I'd rather have a blessing from God through the Holy Spirit than to have any carnal celebration that there is. But if we, as Paul said, or Peter said here in his word, he said, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. He says, I'm going to keep pounding it and pounding it and pounding. How many of you are like me that sometimes the first time you hear it, it just don't sink in? So it takes a second time and it takes a third time. Or sometimes it takes more. But he said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm not going to fail to remind you. As long as I have breath, as long as God lays up on my heart, you know what I'm going to keep preaching? We have a reason to celebrate. And you ought to know what you're celebrating. And then he also says this. He says, even after I am dead and gone, after I decease, that you may still have these things in remembrance. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, we're on our way out. We need to leave behind to our children why we celebrate the things of God like we do. We don't come to church just to be seen or to see. We don't come to church just to appease mom or dad or brothers and sisters. I don't even go to church just to impress my neighbors or somebody else in the congregation. You know why I go to church? Because I have a reason to celebrate. And people say, well, what are you celebrating? I'm celebrating what Jesus Christ has done for me. Just like our country, I celebrate what our men and women and what God has done for us as a country. But I see it slipping away. It's slipping away in the natural realm, and it's slipping away in the spiritual realm. Tiffany was showing us this thing last night. You know that there are people that are out in this world that think all you have to do is have a praise choir, a little message with the right tone and the right looks and the right words, and you can gather people in by the hundreds that will just go, just be going. You don't have to have any of the gospel. In fact, that little, and it's really a mockery of the church. Oh, it mainly what it said is if you have a praise choir, somebody to sing some songs, somebody to bring a little message of some type. Don't have to have the Word of God and a place for people to fellowship, and it even showed the coffee cups that people will congregate. You know why they congregate? They don't know what they're celebrating. They don't know what it's all about. Folks, we ought to be proud that we are Americans. We ought to be proud that we're Americans. Let the flags wave. Because Francis Scott Key, when he wrote that, it cost a lot of people their lives. When Betsy Ross put together the flag, she was doing it, I believe, with all of her heart, for country and for God. Many of our patriarchs in this country, they were God-fearing. They didn't do it just to get away from England. They did it because they feared God and they wanted to have a right to worship God in a way that they felt was good and pleasing unto God. And now we have made a mockery of it. Our people don't even know what we celebrate on tomorrow, on the 4th of July. They forget the price that it cost. And as I said just a few moments ago in the message, we've got so many people that don't even like America, that everything is wrong with it. And we're just letting anything come in our doors. Let me put this in. I'm going to close, I promise you. But here's the problem with letting just anything in. When we let just anything in, they're bringing their gods with them. They're bringing their gods with them. And every situation that the Bible tells us about, whenever God's people allowed all those other false gods to come in, they started celebrating the things with the false gods instead of their God. It cost them. And it's costing us today. Because every religion there is in the world is accepted in America. Our forefathers would be insulted of what we allowed to come into this country. But more than that, our God, I believe God is insulted in what we celebrate in our churches. And people that celebrate it don't even know why they're celebrating. We ought to remember what we're celebrating today. Where God brought us from, where we're at, and where we're going. And if we'll do that, God will bless us in spite of ourselves. This morning, we ought to remember what we're celebrating. And we ought to celebrate it with remembrance of those that paid the price for us. My prayer is not just in the country, but also in our churches, that our people would go back to celebrating God for what God has done for them. And has anybody celebrated God for what He's going to do for you? Amen. While Rob and Sharon gives a song of invitation, let me tell you how confident I am in our God. A buddy of mine was diagnosed with cancer this past week, and he is devastated. He talked to me for a few minutes about it. And I told him, I said, I know that that's bad news. I've not been there. I know it's bad news. But I know a God that can heal all things. And I told him this. I said, a brother in our church has a CD that I'm going to get for you and let you listen to it. And the reason why I do that is because, you see, folks, when you've seen what God has done for others, you can celebrate it. Amen. You can celebrate it for yourself or for other people that you care about. Because there's a song that said in years gone by, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. There's a song in years gone by that says it like this. God is still a miracle worker. He can do all things. And then when God moves in your heart and your life, folks, we ought to be the first ones celebrating. Preacher ought not have to preach you to celebrate. Singers ought not have to sing you to celebrate. If God's been good to you, you've got something to celebrate this morning. And we as a country, we have got the best reasons in the world to celebrate. Because no matter how bad she is, America is still the best country in the world. But if we don't start reminding and teaching our children and our loved ones why we celebrate, folks, the devil's going to come in and put something else in place of it. And we'll not know what we're celebrating. And that's where so many of our people are today. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. I ask you, do you know what you're celebrating this morning? Have you been celebrating what good things God has done for you? He is a good God. He's given us so much, Terry, that we can celebrate. So much that we can praise Him for. And nobody can celebrate like you can for what God has done for you. Nobody can. How is it with you this morning? You can't celebrate until you experience God for yourself. Listen to this today. I must tell Jesus why don't you do that this morning? No matter what it is that the devil would have in front of you, Rye, you can't celebrate. God can give it back to you this morning. God can place it back in your heart, a reason to celebrate because of His goodness, His mercy and His grace that He has given to all of us. Yes. Jesus can help us. Amen. One more verse, if you would, Rob and Sharon, while you're pondering in your heart today what to do with God. Best advice I can give to anybody is that just open up your heart and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And you'll see why the celebrations are so important to us. It's not a constraint, it's not a burden, but it's a joy to praise the Lord for the good things that He has done. How about you today? Have you given Him the praise and honor that He deserves? Have you celebrated recently the good things that God has done for you? Listen to this. Yes. Nobody else that I can talk to. I must take it to God. Yes. I cannot bear it by myself. Yes. Jesus alone. Amen and amen. How many of you are proud to be an American this morning? Amen. Tara was talking this morning, if we were coming to church, and talking about all those that had the colors on, the red, white, and blue. Terry's got his shirt, got all of them in it. And Larry's got his tie on there with all the colors. I'm proud to be an American. Sometimes I'm not proud of America, but I'm proud to be an American. I sure am. But most of all, I am more proud to be a born-again child of God on our way to heaven when this life comes to an end. I was thinking this week that, you know, we could live in a foreign land and not have the freedoms that we have today. But as long as you know Jesus Christ, you'd still have everything that you have need of in your life. I appreciate you this morning. Appreciate our country. Appreciate God. And I celebrate both of them. Country and God. Bill, I celebrate them both because they both been better to me than I deserve. And certainly to you as well. And so I pray that you have a great 4th of July. That you enjoy the time with your family and friends. And that you remind them sometime during the day of what we celebrate. It's just like Christmas. We have to remind and teach our children and grandchildren what Christmas is all about. And it's no different with any other celebration that we have. So let's remember that. Did you enjoy yourself in the house of the Lord this morning? And we pray that you'll certainly have a wonderful day. How many of you is coming back to be with us tonight? All right. There's more hands there. That's good. I appreciate that. And now that you saw everybody that raised their hand, how many of you is coming back to be with us tonight? Some of you say that same question. But I appreciate the time we have with our brothers and sisters. And look forward to this evening. And have a good afternoon. Get you something to eat. Get you something to drink. And come back tonight. You get you a nap if you need it. And that is sounding pretty good, Bill. And then come back tonight expecting great things to happen in the house of the Lord. God bless you today.